Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong.
Two peas in a bong.
Two peas and a bong.
Y'all, two peas in a bong in the building again. It's your boy DP.
It's your boy KP.
And Ubong reporting live from Los Angeles.
All right, man. So let me throw some figures out there to you guys. $426,500,000. $330 million over 13 years. $324 million. Over 9 years, $300 million over 10 years, $275 over 10 years, $252 million over 10 years. So those numbers, if I asked you guys to tell me what they relate to, which sport would you say that they were for? These are contracts we're talking about.
I thought that was a Mega Millions. I would say baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah.
All right, and Ubon, you in agreement with that?
I'll be a contrarian, and I'll say soccer.
Soccer. Okay. So I went with baseball contracts. So, Kevin, you were correct. Ubon, there are some ridiculous soccer contracts out there as well, but neither one of you said basketball, and nobody said football, right? But recently... I'm sure a lot of folks are aware of this new contract that Patrick Mahomes just signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. It's a 10-year contract extension that's added on to the 2 years he has left on his rookie deal. And on that, he has $27 million left on the 2 years of his rookie deal. And the 10-year extension is worth $450 million. So you're talking about a $503 million deal once this is all rolled up into one, with a couple of incentives and everything that go into there. This forms a 12-year $477 million deal, and he could reach up to $503 million with the $25 million in incentives from, you know, winning like the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl and stuff like that. So potential to be 503. But within that, he's got $63 million that are fully guaranteed, and $141 million in injury guarantees. So this is unprecedented. This is a different kind of situation here, especially with football. So we let out with some baseball numbers, but this is a football situation. Okay, so this is really unheard of when it comes to that particular sport. So let me get y'all thoughts on that, man.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Dollar bills, y'all.
So the first thing I always look at with a football contract is the guarantee money. $503 million is ridiculous. That is the largest contract in any sport in North America. That is so crazy. But $63 million guaranteed. So when I look at this contract, there are four quarterbacks that signed 10-year extensions before Patrick Mahomes. Brett Favre did it 2001 with the Packers. Drew Bledsoe did it 2001 with the Patriots. Michael Vick did it 2004 with the Falcons. Dante Culpepper did it in 2003 with the Vikings. Now, how did that 10-year extension work for those four quarterbacks? Not good for any of them. The exception is Michael Vick, because he was able to get a $100 million contract after serving time in prison and proving himself with the Eagles. So he was able to get a $100 million contract with them. But the first four players before Mahomes, the other three, I would say it didn't work in their favor. Now, looking at the current contracts, the only contract that comes close right now to Patrick Mahomes in the NFL in terms of the years is the left tackle, Tyron Smith. I know you guys are familiar with him because he's a Cowboy. He's got an 8-year contract, and that contract it was from 2016 to 2023. And then there's 14 active players currently on 6-year contracts. So, and even looking at that 8-year contract with Tyron Smith, it's 8 years, $97.6 million. And he got a $10 million signing bonus, and it was $22 million guaranteed.
Okay. And that was 8 years?
Yeah, that was 8 years.
Yeah. Vic's was 6 years, $100 million total with $40 million guaranteed. So not bad.
Let me say this. I'm happy for Patrick Mahomes. I'm happy for any professional athlete that is able to capitalize off of their talent and skill. However, I do look at this another way, and I do have questions. I guess my biggest question is what will Lamar Jackson's contract look like next year? Is this a situation of someone being lighter skinned and being part European and having a father that, you know, played professional sports but was also around a bunch of Europeans, and looking at it from that standpoint, and then a quarterback that, though he is, you know, black, we cannot dismiss the side of him being biracial and looking a little bit more European than some of the other black quarterbacks and having a European girlfriend? Or is that the case? Or is it really the case of Patrick Mahomes is really that talented and this is what he deserves? I think the question will be answered a little bit more next year when we look at the contract extension that is given to Lamar Jackson.
All right. Initial thoughts on just the contract itself, Ubon?
Right. My boy Kev, don't waste no time going straight to the conspiracy theory.
We gonna circle back to that though, man.
He don't even warm it up, man. He just no foreplay. We just going straight.
Man, ain't no foreplay, man. Let's just get to it.
Okay. let me get into the I don't even want to break down the contract yet. We'll have time to do that. But I would say this. The difference, and everybody, the devil's in the details, man. The devil's in the details every time. The devil's in the details. People give you these superficial facts, but they forget to give you the details, man. The details mean so much. So I'm going to start by debunking the perception that there were five other quarterbacks that signed 10-year deals, Mahomes being the sixth. Right. And none of them played out the contracts. Mm-hmm. Drew Bledsoe, without even knowing where Drew Bledsoe was in his contract, Brett Favre played in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Played through the 90s. He signed his 10-year deal, which was meant to make him a Packer for life in 2001.
Yes.
Brett Favre played out 7 years on that contract. And do you remember how it ended? It ended because Brett Favre retired, unretired, retired again, unretired again. Like, he literally was playing games with the Packers to where, you know what I'm saying, it's like, I'm not doing training camp, but I'll be there when the season starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, Brett Favre had played a majority of his career before he signed a 10-year deal. Dante Culpepper, he had played a majority of his career before he signed his 10-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. McNabb had played a majority of his career before he signed his 10-year deal or 12-year deal with the Eagles. You get where I'm going? Patrick Mahomes just completed his third year in the league, third year in the league, and he didn't play his first year. He was backing up Alex Smith. So he has 2 years of professional football under his belt. I think he played the last game of the first season.
Yeah.
Because they had already clinched the playoff spot and they were resting the starters. And when he came in that one game, they was like, oh shit, what the fuck? This was supposed to be a throwaway game and this motherfucker's out here doing work. So he played one game in his rookie year. Since then, he's gone on to be league MVP the next year. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl MVP the year after that. Okay. So, and you know, with Drew Bledsoe signed a 10-year deal with the Patriots. He got injured. Tom Brady came in and he wowed the Patriots and they never went back to Drew Bledsoe. But we can all agree Drew Bledsoe was never an elite top tier MVP type quarterback. What we're talking about with Mahomes is somebody that hasn't even peaked yet. So he's not even at his prime. He was on a LeBron James show, The Shop, earlier. Or I think it might have been like late last year. And he said that he just learned probably 18 months ago how to read NFL defense, how to read defenses.
Wow.
He literally hasn't even scratched the surface, which means that he's essentially Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy. They give him a play and they probably, you know, tell him like, hey, you know, this is the play that we're running. Give him a couple of different options. And then he goes off of that. When he gets to the point where he's essentially outgrown having to have them call the plays into him is when he's at elite status, which means that, listen, you just give me maybe 5 or 10 plays. I can come out, read the defense, and then I'm gonna call the play based on what I see. He's not even there yet. And he's already won an MVP. And he's already won Super Bowl MVP. So essentially, after 2 years in the league, that's where he's at. Don't compare him to Brett Favre on the back end of his career. Don't compare him to Donovan McNabb on the back end of his career. Don't compare him to Dante Culpepper, who was not an elite quarterback and damn near on the back end of his career. Don't compare him to Drew Bledsoe, who was on the back end of his career and not an elite quarterback. This is, if he so chooses, barring a career-ending injury, He will play out this contract unless he decides that he wants to scrap it and renegotiate and get higher figures. And that's based on these, I think they call them mechanics, guarantee mechanics, right?
But Urban, let me say something on the point of him being young and just kind of scratching the surface and throwing out all those other players and their ages and stuff like that, or how old they were. I think Bledsoe was like 29 or 30 when Tom Brady took over. And when Rodgers was drafted, I believe Brett Favre was 35 or something like that. I'm not sure how old McNabb was. I know he was in his 30s when he was playing for the Vikings or the Redskins, some of those later contracts for sure. But once this deal is done, if it runs its course and he does play out the entire contract, Mahomes will be 36, and that's still time to sign another contract if you are still in good health. You look at these quarterbacks, they're playing into their 40s. Tom Brady is still playing. Brett Favre didn't retire until he was 41. So dude could potentially sign another 5 to 6 year contract.
And that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying is that the only thing that can derail him is injury. The only thing that can derail him is injury.
And good for him, he has a $141 million, you know, injury guarantees mixed in there. So I
want to say I wasn't comparing him to those other guys. I just wanted to say that those are the other extensions that have been given out to quarterbacks.
I understand that, Kev. But what I'm saying is, I think the point you were getting at was that they didn't play out the full terms of their contract, that like they didn't play out the 10 years. Right.
Yeah.
And my thing is, they also weren't in their third year, 2 years of playing. So he's essentially going into his third year and he's signing a 10 year extension. So, and the thing about it is it's, if we actually break down the contract, mm-hmm. it's good for him, but it also helps the team. Right. So it's literally the definition of a true relationship where, if I'm to believe what's being told about the contract, Patrick Mahomes trusts the team to do what's best for his career. And in turn, the team trusts Patrick Mahomes to give him that extension. Because here's the thing about the contract. The contract, his salary is guaranteed a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So those are guarantee mechanisms that they're talking about. His salary is guaranteed. So let's say, and again, you have to believe that it's not a fluke. So like, let's say with Dak Prescott, I would not advise you to sign this deal, because if it's a fluke, then the team can essentially get out of this contract if they wanted to. You look at somebody like Matt Stafford, somebody like Matt Ryan, a lot of these guys that are just your run-of-the-mill quarterback, starting quarterbacks in the NFL. They have had, you know, time under their belt, time that they've been in the NFL, and they've been paid. They've been paid accordingly, and they haven't done an eighth of the stuff that Patrick Mahomes has already done in 2 years. So his contract, these guarantee mechanisms, guarantees that his salary for the next year is good. The only way that they can get out of guaranteeing his contract for the following year is to outright cut him. Mm-hmm. And essentially what I'm saying is, unless he has a career-ending injury, why would he get cut by the Kansas City Chiefs? And what team wouldn't pick him up and pay him top dollar? So they're saying, bro, if you don't get injured, you're going to make $500 million. Well, not $500 million, but close to $500 million.
Yeah, $500 if he hits those, you know.
Yeah, but he has to.
He takes him to the mountaintop again. Yeah, it's like, right. Yeah, he'll hit it.
I think he has to win some AFC championship games and get to the Super Bowl. I think $2.5 million bonuses in there every year. With that, you're taking care of him. Now, here's the part where it's team friendly. A majority of his contract isn't tied into signing bonuses. It's tied into base salary. So if the team needs to create salary cap space to sign other players, all they have to do is convert his base salary into a signing bonus to create salary cap space. He just got, I think they said like he has 65 million that was, you know, he signed and got 65 million immediately. But this year, he's only going to count 300,000 against the cap.
And even with his base, like the mechanisms you're talking about, it's, they're always going to make sure that his salary doesn't drop below a certain percentage of the NFL salary cap. So he's always going to be above, you know, above average, so to speak. But so, yeah, it's working both ways.
And so when Kev earlier spoke about his dad, and his dad was an MLB player, so Major League Baseball player, Major League Baseball is known for the long-term contracts, right? Mm-hmm. And who knows if that had something to do with it. Like, dad was probably like, bro, you need to get some guarantees. Fuck a 4-year deal. Fuck a, you know, a 3-year deal or whatever, whatever. Let's go get some long-term security. We believe in your health. You're not Lamar Jackson. And that's, so we're going to go into that. I don't even want to touch that yet. But just without even getting into too deep into it, that's what scares me about Lamar Jackson. Mahomes, he runs when he has to. Lamar Jackson runs as a function of his game plan. And by doing so, man, you're cutting a lot of the lifespan of your career short. Look at just and if you want to look for an example, look no further than Cam Newton. You know, Cam Newton used to, I remember, and it's so crazy to see how players evolve in their NFL career. The Panthers a few years ago begged Cam to stop running as much. We want to create an offense where you depend more on the pass and you're not really depending on running. And you know what Cam said? I'm Superman. That's one of my, you know, superpowers is my ability to run over these, you know, these linebackers and safeties. And why would you take away Superman's superpower by telling him he can't do that anymore? And I'm willing to do whatever it takes and I'll leave it out here on the field. Okay, well, fast forward. You did all that. Now you got a bum shoulder. Now you got a bum ankle. And what happened? You got cut. So, you know, and that's totally off point. But what I'm saying is, if there's a difference between him and Lamar Jackson, I don't think it's the fact that Lamar Jackson is a Florida boy, dark skin, nappy hair, all that shit, and Patrick Mahomes is, you know, light, bright, biracial, the whole nine. I think the biggest difference is Patrick Mahomes relies primarily on his arm and Lamar Jackson relies primarily on his legs.
I would, you know, I'm agreeing with you. Lamar, I mean, everybody knows Lamar Jackson's a running quarterback, but I wouldn't make the comparison to Cam Newton. I'd make the comparison to Mike Vick, who was also given $200 million contract.
But we understand Mike Vick would have played out his Atlanta deal had he not had extenuating circumstances off the field. So the fact that Mike Vick didn't play out his 10-year deal with Atlanta was because of the dogfighting scandal. It had nothing to do with football.
No, but what I'm saying, I'm just saying in terms of, because you're saying, you know, Lamar Jackson, the way that he's used, the way that he runs, he could be hurt any given play.
But hear me out, Kev. Uh-huh. Mike Vick was the first time that we had a dynamic running quarterback. You had Randall Cunningham. You had people that, you know, Steve Young, that actually were running quarterbacks. But Mike Vick was different. Mike Vick was ahead of his time, right? There was no defense to stop Mike Vick. But now, with the evolution of quarterbacks that are mobile, that incorporate running into their game, now you have defenses that are set up to stop quarterbacks that run, and they lose a lot of their protection. They lose a lot of the protection that they get as a quarterback once they leave the pocket.
True.
I think the athletes now are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. They find different ways to sidestep, you know, HGH and steroid testing. Like, bro, Lamar Jackson can literally get hurt on any given play rolling outside the pocket. You know what I'm saying? And they ran, like, how many times did he run? It wasn't like he was running like three or four times a game. I play fantasy football. I had Lamar Jackson on one of my teams. I won a championship with that team. Lamar Jackson would literally give you running back stats at the quarterback position. There were games where he was running 14, 15 times, just rushing the ball 15 times in addition to being a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And that, I think, if there's a downside to Baltimore signing him to a long-term deal, that will be it. I think Lamar Jackson is going to get good money, but he's more likely to sign a 4-year or a 5-year deal than a 10-year deal.
So then, Kevin, why do you think it's more so those things that are off the field then that you led into before we were kind of just given the breakdown of the contract itself? Why do you think it's more so, you know, the biracial versus the talent or the light skin and, you know, his look versus Lamar Jackson's look? Because that's kind of what you were alluding to. So
I said I look at it both ways. I'm not going to say that to sit up here and say that Patrick Mahomes isn't talented, I'd be lying. And his, you know, in his second season, which was his first full season, the man threw for 5,997 yards and 50 touchdowns. Only other player to throw for 50 touchdowns, Peyton Manning. So he's in great company. By the way, he led his team to 12-4 that first year he was playing. And then he led them to 12-4 again this past season and a Super Bowl. So I'm not taking anything away from the man's talent. Let me say that. I said I look at it both ways. So the man is talented. He deserves to be compensated. I'm going to look at it the other way as well. I look at it like this. We had an episode. For those of you that are listening, go back. Tune into the episode of The Rise of the Black Quarterback, where we're talking about black quarterbacks taking over the sport and being better than a lot of these white quarterbacks that are they're pocket passers. Patrick Mahomes is a dual threat quarterback. So he is he's the new breed, the new age quarterback. The man can make all different kind of throws. I also look at it like this. The NFL needs a new face of football. Tom Brady's getting old. Russell Wilson, he's not going to be the face. Seattle had a time where they were going to be they were rising and seemed like they were going to be the hot team with the hot market, but it was too much controversy surrounding Marshawn Lynch and everything else. And I think that kind of took Russell Wilson away from being the face. I believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to be the face of football. And with this face of football, I'm just looking at it from a white standpoint. If I were to relinquish control, I'd feel a little, it just seems like they'd feel a little bit more comfortable relinquishing control to someone that looks a little bit more like them and a little bit less like us.
Okay. And let me speak to that. In that episode, The Rise of the Black Quarterback, I believe I said, I don't think the league was ready to have Lamar Jackson be the face of football. I said it in True. That in that episode. The league True. Is not ready to have Lamar Jackson be the face of the NFL. And it's because he wants to be him. He will not button up for anybody. Patrick Mahomes, he will button up. He'll be politically correct when they ask him to be. Lamar Jackson, I'm doing everything my way. And, you know, there are consequences, unfortunately. There are consequences that come with being who you want to be as opposed to
who we want you to be.
Exactly, who we want you to be. And for that reason, Seattle in the Super Bowl against New England, when they could have given the ball to Marshawn Lynch, which would have given him probably, I think, his either his third or his fourth touchdown of the game and sealed, no questions asked, the MVP. They chose to put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands because I think, and this is just my personal opinion, that they consciously did not want Marshawn Lynch to have to get up there and represent the NFL as the MVP of a Super Bowl. Okay. And they lost. In regards to Russell Wilson being the face of the NFL, he cannot be the face of the NFL because his coach, Pete Carroll, still hasn't given him the keys to the franchise, right? Russell Wilson is one of the most talented quarterbacks. And I used to hate it because he's just so happy-go-lucky off the field and like jolly gee whiz. But but on the field, though, he's a beast. But they won't give him any top talent. He's begging as we speak. He is somewhere begging Pete Carroll to go sign Antonio Brown. That's what I need to get over the hump. But Pete Carroll would prefer to be a running team. You know, they were the number one rushing team last year and try and rely on his defense as opposed to open up the offense and let Russell Wilson take control. So if you can't even get your own coach to give you the keys to the franchise, how can we make you the face of the NFL? So I agree with you there. They're not going to give it to him. Tom Brady, he is phasing out his career. He is no longer the face of the NFL. And you see what he's done, right? He's gone to Tampa Bay. He was buttoned up in New England when he was the face of the NFL. Now he's thumbing his nose at the NFL like, hey, man, Tom Brady, we need you to social distance. You don't need to be holding these workouts. Tom Brady tells the NFL, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Like, that's the kind of shit that Marshawn Lynch would say.
He's rebranding
exactly.
himself.
Exactly. Because he's no longer the face. You said it. They're phasing him out as the face. Like, Tom Brady, you're 40-something years old. We can't throw you in front of – we can't put you on a Madden cover. We can't, put you in front of the Wheaties box and half these kids won't even know who the fuck you are. So if you have a Lamar Jackson and a Patrick Mahomes, both have the wild hair, but one is, you know, better texture, the whole nine. I can see it. I can see what you're saying, but it's also Lamar Jackson. Are you willing to button up and be politically correct? Like, you still, if you go to his social media page, you still repping Kodak Black, because I think him and Kodak Black from the same area in Florida, Kodak Black locked up for like his 10th crime. And that's like one of your closest homeboys. We don't even want to listen. We don't want you to be the face of the NFL and have to worry about waking up and knowing that, hey, when Kodak Black gets out, maybe there's a situation where Lamar Jackson went and hung out with Kodak Black and now gunshots fired. They were in the car together. It's bigger than just you, your skin tone. It's the person that you are. Are you willing to be the corporate guy? And I don't think Lamar Jackson, I was about to call him Kodak Black. I don't think Lamar Jackson is willing to be that person. I think he would rather be authentically who he is. You saw him playing beach football and ran into a sea-doo earlier this year. Bro, what are you doing? Like, I can't have you be the face of the NFL and you doing that type of shit. So I don't think it really has anything to do with, you know, I won't say that. I think the skin tone and the fact that Patrick Mahomes is biracial has a lot to play, you know, plays into it a lot. He has the white girlfriend, plays into it a lot. He has a dad that used to, you know, that was a part of major league sports and, you know, probably showed him the way as far as how to be a true professional. And that, a lot of that stuff plays into it, but I don't think it's just the fact that he's biracial. I think that's a part of it, but it's bigger than that.
So it's a, you talked about Lamar Jackson off the field and some of the stuff he was doing. I want to bring it back to the contract a little bit. So it's life changing, obviously, if you're just looking at the numbers, looking at the money that he's going to make, could change the framework of how, you know, deals of work going forward in the NFL and stuff. There are, though, some restrictions. It's been reported that there's some restrictions to his everyday life, that him being Patrick Mahomes, that will have to be, you know, kind of put in place now. And I know he was on record in a recent interview talking about pretty much any type of physical activity you could think of. You know, I know he's been seen, you know, playing basketball and stuff here and there and doing some other things, but that shit is pretty much out the window. It's like, you know, on the field, you know, you're doing your thing on the field and you're getting paid for what you're doing on the field. But hey, off the field, don't do all of this other bullshit either. I think he mentioned something like he'll be relegated to football and video games. So he's going to have to change, you know, what he's doing in his regular everyday life outside of football. Now, is that something y'all think y'all be able to do? Like, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, y'all about to go shoot? Oh, I can't do that.
Of course.
To have the chance to get $500 million and I'm already playing my first sport of choice, yeah, I could do it.
And don't get it twisted. Coming out of high school, Mahomes could have gone whatever route he wanted to. He got drafted. I think he got drafted. I don't even know how many rounds that they have in baseball, but I think that says something like he got drafted in the 37th round of coming out of high school in baseball, but he chose to go to Texas Tech to try and improve his stock as a baseball player and fucked around and started playing football. But he was a three sport athlete. He could have played basketball. He could have came out and ultimately played professional basketball, professional baseball, or professional football. And he gravitated to the one that gave him the least guarantees. That's funny. The least guarantees, but then he turned it into a situation where he's potentially going to earn close to $500 million over the next 12 years.
More than what baseball would have given him. And I think another player who was kind of in that situation was Kyler Murray. I think he could have played baseball as well. And he decided to, you know, to play football. But, you know, if he performs well, he's another young quarterback. Maybe he'll be looking at a deal. I doubt the Cardinals will win the Super Bowl or anything like that. But maybe he'll be looking at a deal where, you know, he can get a little bit more money and it'll be the projection is looking better is what I'm saying for him getting a better deal. That's more comparable to what he would have gotten with baseball, with this happening with Patrick Mahomes. Like, the door is open now. It's just who will now capitalize.
What wide receiver did they just get?
They
got a chance to win the Super Bowl.
They need a lot more than that.
You got to remember that Andy Reid had the coaching pedigree that states this guy has the potential to win a Super Bowl. He got to a Super Bowl with the Eagles, just didn't get over the hump because Donovan McNabb. couldn't get right, and probably why he didn't play out the full term of his 10-year or 12-year deal, neither here nor there.
Michael Vick was under Andy Reid when he got that contract, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I think he's willing to at least go to bat for his players, or specifically his quarterbacks, when he thinks, you know, they can put him in a position to win some games.
You saw what he did with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is... He's not a deep – listen, Alex Smith, he got – I think, you know, it was his arm that literally fucked off a potential chance to get to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes' rookie year, they had enough wins stacked that they could sit out that last game of the season. Starters sat out the last game of the season. And I think Alex Smith went and got outdueled by, was that the year that he got outdueled by Andrew Luck? They had him down like, I think they had him down like 17 or something like that. And Andrew Luck brought him back and won the game. But Andy Reid had potential Super Bowl teams that were being handicapped because he had Alex Smith out there as his quarterback. Now you giving him a guy that any of the 32 teams in NFL would take right now as their starting quarterback. With the genius that Andy Reid is, you can't compare him to Cliff Kingsbury, who was Patrick Mahomes' head coach at Texas Tech, and they didn't win shit. So I don't think Arizona, like, listen, I like the kid Kyler Murray. He's good, even though he's undersized. He's legit. But with Cliff Kingsbury, they need to work on that defense. Like, that defense has a lot of holes in it. Yeah, you have DeAndre Hopkins, but what else do you have with him? Andy Reid has the quarterback that he needs, and he has a system that we know, now we know works, and a defense that's pretty damn good as well. So I wouldn't compare the two, but like DP said, I think Patrick Mahomes opens the door for other players to get paid. But if he's pushed the level up to where he's getting 45, it'd be easier for somebody to come in and ask for 40 and it not be like, man, fuck you. You're not getting 40 million.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, Mahomes you're talking about is in the elite category. But when that elite category, it's almost like a pool. Like, when they start rising up, you know, even the people who are on the lower tier start getting paid a little bit more. Just because, you know, contract negotiations or whatever case may be, you know, there's the potential for you to argue for X amount more money because you can do this, this, and that. But if this contract, let's say he was just in a $140 million range or something like that. I think we were talking about Russell Wilson earlier. What is his, like a 4-year deal, $140 million or something like that, 4 or 5 years for 140? If you double that up, you know, you're still only talking, you know, what, 280 versus 500? You know, that's half of what Mahomes is making. So even if you're looking at somebody like a Russell Wilson, the next time he negotiates a deal, guess what? He's going to ask for more money. You know what I'm saying? The price tag is going up, even for Joe Schmo, who's like, hey, you know, I need some more money to do this. I need some more money to sip on this Gatorade on the sideline and run in on special teams. Like, you know.
Just the irony, though, the price tag is going up right after it just went down for Jameis Winston, went down for Cam Newton. Dak Prescott couldn't, you know, negotiate it. They couldn't give him the deal that he wanted. It's just interesting.
It is, but again, like those particular situations are like apples and oranges. You're looking at somebody at the height of his, not even at the height, but at the apex of what it is for a season. He's reached the mountaintop. He's won a Super Bowl, MVP, all of that shit. That's what you strive for, even as a team, but as an individual, he's getting the accolades and performing that way. But you got, if you look at, you know, Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, like, you know, they had to, you know, squeeze that lemon and make lemonade based on the way they were, you know what I'm saying, being done. But that does, but again, Jameis Winston, he will have an opportunity after this year, whatever the case may be, go back to the drawing board with your people, with your representatives, and negotiate a better contract, which will probably be more money than he was going to get had something like this not happened.
And Jameis Winston admitted he took less money to go to New Orleans. He could have signed for more money. He took less money to go to New Orleans. And I think, again, my personal opinion, it's because he's going to succeed Drew Brees. And when he comes back to the table to be the successor for Drew Brees, now you're talking about somebody that can try and wiggle in there at 30-something million. Dak Prescott, we talked about him. He signed a franchise tag for $31.5 million. His issue, the only issue with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, why they haven't been able to get their deal done, is the number of years. Whereas Pat Mahomes wants the long term. He took the 10-year deal with all these nuances within the contract that will protect both him and the team. I know Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is going to protect the Dallas Cowboys first. Dak Prescott said, no, fuck that. I don't want a long-term deal. I want a 4-year deal because I know the way you sign contracts, so that when the new TV deal is done, I'm going to come back to the table and then I'm going to get that $45 million that Patrick Mahomes is already going to, you know, that he's going to get 6-7 years from now. Jerry wants to sign him long term. He wants to lock him up long term like he did with Tyron, Smith, because he knows that it's going to be team friendly. But Jerry, if you're Dak Prescott, you see what Jerry just did to Dez Bryant, right?
Who actually chimed in when this, when the deal was made. I think he tweeted out what he thought was the importance of Mahomes' deal and all of that. So,
you see how Jerry did Dez Bryant, right?
Yeah.
You didn't even renegotiate the contract. You let the draft come and go. So you suppressed his value on the free agent market, because free agency had already come and gone. They had signed all the players. Then the draft comes. Now they're picking up young wide receivers. Why would I go and get Dez Bryant at a high price tag after the fact? But during that time, you didn't even talk to Dez. Like, oh yeah, we'll talk to Dez when the time is right. When it's all said and done, you released him. Dak sees that. I know how you do business, Jerry. I don't want to be a part of that. He saw how he did Tony Romo. Tony Romo ultimately wanted to wanted to get traded. Jerry Jones refused to trade Tony Romo. That's why he retired. He refused. He was supposed to go to Denver. Jerry Jones was going to release Tony Romo, but refused to release him because other teams wanted to pick him up. So Jerry Jones said, if we don't trade Tony Romo and get something back for him, I'm not releasing him. Tony Romo just he's like, fuck it, I'm out. And I retired. If you're Dak Prescott and you saw how Jerry Jones does business, why the fuck would I get in bed with you long term? Give me a short 4-year deal or franchise tag me. So if you franchise tag him this year for 31.5, next year the franchise tag is $37 million. Sign it again.
Yeah, but see, with that though, so Mahomes signed a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanism that you touched on earlier, it's almost like that makes it to where it doesn't even matter if it's long-term or short-term, because he's going to get the 45 regardless. So if he had a 4-year deal at 45 or a 5-year or 6-year at 45, just take half of his deal off. Let's say they didn't want to go a full 10. He's still getting 45.
Right.
And that's still killing. We talking about $10 million gap between the next elite quarterback.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So the length of his contract, that's great. But even speaking year to year, like, the dude is set to make 45 regardless of the, it doesn't go down. You know what I'm saying? You know how a contract can be front loaded,
right? Yeah,
and shit like that. It does not go down.
So we mentioned Lamar Jackson. I want to touch on his contract now.
In 28, you reading my mind, boy. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
In 2018, Lamar Jackson signed for $9.5 million, 7.58 guaranteed, with a $4.97 million signing bonus. Now, I want to talk about this past season, because this past season, he came off one of the most successful NFL seasons in history. He threw for 3,127 yards, and he had an NFL high of 36 touchdowns, which was a record for the Baltimore franchise. Lamar Jackson also rushed for 1,206 yards, which was sixth best in the NFL, and it was the most by a quarterback in single season history. Lamar Jackson is also the only quarterback to produce a 3,000 passing yard season along with 1,000 rushing yards. He's also one of three quarterbacks to throw for at least 35 touchdowns and rush for 7 touchdowns in the same season. Those other two quarterbacks, Steve Young in 1994 and Cam Newton in 2015. And he's the second player to win the NFL Most Valuable Player by unanimous vote, behind Tom Brady, who he did it in 2010. And he's the youngest quarterback to ever win at 23. So in his first two seasons, the Baltimore Ravens were 10-6 his first season. He was 6-0 as a starter that year. And then in his full season last year, 14-2. So he's right on the heels of Patrick Mahomes in terms of single season production as a quarterback. So again, next year they're going to do an extension, or it's going to be a contract negotiation, something, some restructuring. I am curious to see how the Baltimore Ravens compensate Lamar Jackson.
So Lamar Jackson similar to Patrick Mahomes, didn't start his first, his rookie year. Flacco was still there.
Yeah, wacko.
Joe Flacco was there, and he stunk the joint up. They went to Lamar Jackson, and do you remember what happened in their playoff game against San Diego at the time? It was the San Diego Chargers, I believe. He had just beat that team thoroughly in the regular season, but because they had time to game plan for him the second time around, they literally said, we're taking all linebackers off the field and we're going to put nothing but secondary players. So we're going to have our three front linemen, and we're going to have basically either linebackers that can play safety or safeties and corners out there, because we need speed on the field to stop Lamar Jackson. And they basically shut him down in that playoff game. He made a valiant effort to come back towards the end of that playoff game, but he lost. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to his next year, 14-2 MVP, number one seed in the playoffs. They got into a game where they went down. They were down and they were relying on Lamar Jackson to bring him back, and he couldn't get it done. In the same season, you have Patrick Mahomes, who was down 24 to the Texans, and yeah, brought them back. So, and these are, and we're not talking about a team that was putting so much pressure on Lamar Jackson's shoulder, like, hey man, you got a boo-boo defense. Not like his defense was A1. Both defenses were A1. And you know, it was, but Lamar Jackson, when put in a situation where he had to bring him back, he couldn't bring him back in the playoffs. Okay. So with that being said, he's going into his third year. Patrick Mahomes just finished his third year. What will he do in his third year? Now, if you have another great season, you have another first game exit out of the playoffs, can you command the money that Patrick Mahomes just got? Now, Patrick Mahomes, I think he was in a bad position earlier this year, last year, where, remember, he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
They started to slide a little bit and people started to question him. He came back and answered a lot of questions by winning that Super Bowl. If Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl this year, if he takes Baltimore, I put it to you like this. He don't even have to fucking win it. If he takes Baltimore to a Super Bowl this year, it would be a disgrace if he signs for a fucking penny less than Mahomes. His contract should essentially, if he can do what Mahomes did, should rival Patrick Mahomes. Now, as far as the years go, I don't know. I don't see Baltimore signing Lamar Jackson to a 10-year deal, because I think that they have decided in their head, in their minds, Lamar Jackson plays a certain style of football. We're going to allow him to be him, play the certain style of football that he plays. But within that comes the risk of injury. And I don't know any run first quarterbacks that play into their late 30s or played into the, you know, like, you have to rely on that arm if you're going to play deep into your career. And I just don't think Lamar Jackson, again, and I'm not taking anything away from him. I love Lamar Jackson. You know, my kids, you know, in my household, we only fuck with the Cowboys, but
you damn right.
But over the last couple of years, if you ask my youngest son or my second youngest son, like, who they fuck with, the two names that's going to come out their mouth is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. We love Lamar Jackson. We was rooting for Lamar Jackson. You know, we wanted to see that Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes. And remember, I was asking for that when we talked about our playoff predictions. I wanted to see Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I thought that'd have been a great, you know, that'd have been a great competition, a black version of Brady versus Manning. You know what I mean? But we didn't get it because Baltimore, they let us down. Dude, I want to see him excel. But next year will determine a lot in regards to his contract and what he gets paid.
Well, so far, man, he's just been a victim of the system, really, with rookie contracts and the way that they work the deals and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I'll throw some names out there for you. So 2017 draft, same draft as Patrick Mahomes. Mitchell Trubisky went number two and got a $29 million contract, almost $30 million, with a $19 million signing bonus. You know, you would like to have 20, you know, retrospectively looking at stuff, that you would have made a different decision. But look at Trubisky's performance versus Lamar Jackson's, you know, and then it's a situation where a team doesn't necessarily have to pull the trigger on a deal. Look at how long you were just talking about Dak Prescott, where a team doesn't have to pull up from the owner's perspective, their side of the game. They don't have to pull the trigger on the contract. You know, they don't have to give you a long-term deal. They could keep doing this franchise tag shit. You know, they don't have to set up some shit to like this Patrick Mahomes situation. So again, Jackson is in a situation where he's a victim of the system. He was drafted, what, 32 in 2018, drafted number 32 in 2018. In 2018, I could name, so two of the top three picks in that draft were quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. I mean, I don't even need to say anything else after that, but I will. You got Lamar Jackson, who's making basically his signing bonus was 1/4 of their signing bonus. He's not even at $10 million on his contract, on his rookie deal. He didn't even sign for $10 million. Didn't even reach that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's at a total contract, almost a third signing bonus, almost a fourth of what those two got. It's crazy. But again, victim of the system. It's the numbers game that they're playing. Unfortunately, you know, he was drafted 32 and his talents clearly exceed what he's being paid. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the fucked up part about that. The fact that they snuck him in on the backside of the first round gives the team the option to pick up that fifth year.
Right. So, wow. Right.
So that's the fucked up part, because now, right, Lamar Jackson just completed his second year. If he goes outside of the first round, you have third year, fourth year, and then he renegotiates. Now, this team can essentially go third year, fourth year. We're going to pick up your fifth year option. So they have him on the contract for 3 more years before they can even start franchising him. If they really wanted to play hardball with Lamar Jackson, let him play out the 5-year contract. We'll negotiate and we'll franchise tag you, and we're willing to do that. And you're essentially betting that the player will run out of gas before you actually have to pay him a long-term deal.
Wow.
Right. Now, I don't know.
And it's the numbers game, man.
Yeah, I don't know what the ownership is in Baltimore. So, you know, maybe they are team friendly, and they want, you know, because a lot of times it's the perception, like, we are team first. We take care of our players. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a trust issue, I know, in Dallas with Dak and Jerry Jones. I don't know if there's going to be the same trust issue with Steve Bisciotti and Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. You know, like, maybe, you know, because Harbaugh has definitely, you know, spoken up on his behalf, you know, and sung his praises. Maybe we take care of him after the third year. But that's why I'm saying that I think this year is critical. We can't have any. First off, we have to make the playoffs. So when we talk about the checklist of stuff that Lamar Jackson has to worry about, make the playoffs, have another great season, another MVP type season, and get out the first round. Like, bro, you have to, at the end of the day, the first year when he lost to the Chargers, I get it. He was a rookie. They threw him in there at the last minute. You can't expect that much of him. Last year was a disappointment. It was the ultimate letdown.
Right.
14-2, and you got bounced by the Tennessee Titans, who have a one-trick pony in Derrick Henry and a guy that literally he signed a deal off of 6 games. He just got paid Ryan Tannehill off of a six game stretch that he had.
Ryan Tannehill went in there and held the staff at gunpoint.
Right.
For that.
Stole that deal.
Stole it. Stole money.
But you're making my point, though, Ubon. Like, all the stuff that you're throwing out there is back to it being a situation where he's becoming a victim of circumstance. So, you know, it's like case law. Like, even what Kevin was saying in the beginning, where he was throwing out all these different things that Lamar Jackson has done that these other players haven't. But it's like case law. What do you do when this is all basically negotiation, right? It's contract negotiations. You know, you're arguing for a certain position. You're arguing for a certain amount of money. So in case law, if you're an attorney, you're going to argue your case. You use case law to make your point. Right. You use precedent to make your point. But this situation doesn't just, like, the numbers that we threw out there, it's not specific to Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, the disparity between, like, a number one, number two, number three, or even 10th pick in the draft is, in terms of rookie contracts, it's different. There's a huge difference. There's a huge gap. And it's like this year, just to give you an example, you know, you had your boy Joe Burrow go first. $36 million, $23 million signing bonus. His teammate, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, signed. He was number 32. He was in Lamar Jackson's position at 32. He signed for $10 million with a $5 million signing bonus. Those numbers, there's a precedent for those numbers. You know what I'm saying? When people are arguing, they're like, hey, man, if you win the range of 28 and 32, you're probably looking at this much. That's, you know, the last five drafts have paid. You know what I mean? Like, it's a victim of the way the system goes. So the numbers game, that's what happens. Now, his performance is another thing. The stuff that Kevin was arguing, that's another thing. That's kind of, you know, he's setting the bar, mm-hmm. you know, based on what he's doing. But again, it falls back to what you're saying, Ubon. It's all going into a, you know, this triangular kind of thing. It goes back to the management, though. And what are they willing to do to compensate this dude?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, I've seen the Baltimore Ravens management has screwed over some people. Ask Ray Rice. Ray Rice had to sue for $3 million once he was reinstated by the NFL. His suspension was uplifted. He had to sue for back pay from the Baltimore Ravens. And he ended up winning and getting the back pay of the $3 million that they held from him. But yeah.
No, Kev, you ain't going to do that.
I was about to say, Ray Rice situation. Ray Rice screwed himself.
The Ravens, knew what the hell Ray Rice did. Let's not front and make it seem like they were naive. They knew and they suspended him. When TMZ released the footage of what he did, then
They had no choice, Kevin. The Ravens did. You talking about doing him a solid? They had no video came out. Had no video come out. They weren't even going to do anything to Ray Rice. They were riding with Ray Rice. Once the evidence comes out and it becomes the biggest story and it transcends sports, you have no choice but to drop his ass. You literally had no choice. The Ravens did everything in their power to try and the Ravens and the NFL did everything in their power. The Ravens didn't even suspend him. The NFL suspends him 2 games. Remember that. Everybody's complicit in the bullshit. The NFL only suspended him 2 games. The Ravens did nothing at all. They wanted him to play. And he was coming off of a down season. The Ravens still backed him and kept him on the squad. But once the video came out, bro, we just got to cut ties. It is bad for business. We have to cut ties. You cannot see an NFL player cold cock his girlfriend at the time, knocked her out cold, bro, dragged her out of the elevator and be like, hey, man, you know what? We're going to take care of this guy. He's a team guy. No, no.
And it was his fiance at the time.
But I'm talking about, bro, not a slap.
You know what I'm saying? It was his fiance at the time. She ended up still getting married to him after that. Guess what? I'm signing you. I'm keeping you.
Man, that's their personal business, man.
Your wife took you back or she decided to go through with it knowing how you are. Yeah, man, we're signing this dude.
No, you couldn't. Again, there have been reports in the past. Look no further than Greg Hardy, the Carolina Panthers, who threw his chick on a bed full of guns and all this other stuff. But there was no video. Bro, there's a video of an NFL player who gets hit, and a running back at that, who gets hit by linebackers and D linemen maybe 200 times a week and has built up the framework of on his body, cold cocking a woman. Bro, I don't care what team he was on. No one's going to bring him back. Nobody was going to bring him back. If there was anybody that got blackballed as an NFL player that I would justify, it's Ray Rice. We saw it. Like, you can't bring that dude back. No, what? No film or no. What's that? No face, no case. Whatever. Bro, we saw you cold cock a woman in an elevator and drag her out of it. Like, that shit looked like some shit out of a Stone Age movie. Tarzan, you know, beat his wife and then put her over his shoulder and carried her back to the cave or some shit.
I don't condone domestic violence. I'm married. I do not beat my wife. I don't beat my children. Nah. I don't do that stuff.
Look at him walking it back.
However, I will say this. I played a year of football and I hung around football players in college. Football players are a different breed of individuals. So knowing that, understanding that, there is some shit that they're going to do that a lot of people will frown upon in society. You just gonna have to let some shit go.
Look. Hey, there is no doubt that there is some shit that has happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
All right. There's no doubt that some shit has happened that they have not brought to the public, that is being covered up, that motherfuckers are just overlooking. This happened between football players and their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say, just like Ubam will say, backdoor deals occur. You don't see the backdoor deals. You ain't seen every backdoor slap or knockdown or takedown. Okay. And I'm not trying to, you know, say that in an insensitive way or whatever, but you don't see it. But the shit does happen. I'll say this, though, the same way we were talking before we hopped on here about the, you know, the Jada Pinkett and Will Smith situation, where it's like, what's the first, second, and third rule? Don't let the shit get to the public. When the shit gets to the public, it is a different story. Let's be real. They probably have a set of rules and values, and their core values may be a little bit different when you're talking behind closed doors. But when the shit hits the fan and the shit gets to the public, it's like, hey, you know you done fucked up, right? You said you bought the bottle of beer. But basically it's like, when you get to the point to where it's in the public eye, it's like, what do you want the organization to do? Of course they're gonna cut ties with you.
Got to. Not to even continue to go down the Ray Rice road, but I wanted to speak on something Kev said earlier. I just looked up Lamar Jackson's marketing deals. He has no big endorsements.
Wow.
He has no major endorsements. Now, they're talking about he may sign with a shoe company soon, either Under Armour, Nike, or
the one in China.
Under Armour, Nike, or Adidas. But
who all manufacture in China anyway. But go ahead.
Right. How many MVPs do you know? No major marketing deals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think it's, you can't tell me that there are brands that wouldn't be able to market Lamar Jackson to a segment of the population. But why? Why are you not, why is he not commanding? And again, I don't know his inner workings. Maybe Lamar Jackson is too real to, I don't know. Lamar Jackson's he's kind of like, you know, one of those dudes is like, man, I'm from the hood, man. I don't need this. Okay. So I don't know if it's his choice that, like, I don't want to be a part of the marketing, you know, like this whole marketing thing, or if there's companies that truly don't want to market him because of his look. But I think it's interesting that he does not have any major marketing deals at this point.
Ubang, let's think about this. If he was that real, and I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson's not real. Let's just say that. Let me put that out there. Lamar Jackson's a professional. You watched how he sat in the green room when he wasn't drafted early in the first round. He kept his composure together. When they interviewed him and he was happy and pissed off at the same time, he kept it together. When he went to Baltimore and Joe Flacco was stinking and he was the backup, he kept it together. So he's shown that he's a professional for the first 2 years that he's been in the league. So for him not to have any deals with anyone, nah, that's a direct hit on the way that he looks.
But Kev, what I'm saying before you continue, let's not jump to that conclusion. We don't know. It could be on Lamar Jackson. It could be him choosing to sit back and not accept marketing deals. Again, let's not assume. I didn't look into it. I didn't go into that many details as far as why he's not signed to any, you know, huge endorsement deals. So I would hold that what you're saying until we get more details.
Patrick Mahomes said that he loved ketchup, and right after he won the Super Bowl and got the Super Bowl MVP, he got a deal with Hunt's.
That's the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP.
I think he got that before. I think he got the deal with Heinz, or no, because I think they played Heinz Field, right?
Yes, but he got the deal with Hunt's
or Hunt Field or what? Well, I don't know. It is what it is. But again, Patrick Mahomes also comes from a family where his dad was a baseball player. His godfather was a baseball player. These are professionals. They can help him navigate. Remember what DP was talking about when he was doing the recruiting process of choosing colleges to go play ball at, and not having somebody that could walk him through, you know, like walk him through the process. Lamar Jackson, let's be real. His agent, his everybody that, you know, his financial, all the person that does all his off the field stuff is his mom. And I don't know what her background is. So So I'm not going to go and dismiss her ability or what she can do. And then you have Patrick Mahomes, who probably has a team around him because his dad was an MLB player. And they already told him coming out of college, Patrick, we're going to set it up so that you can maximize every possible dollar that's out there. That could be the difference, Kev. You get what I'm saying?
And I mean, back to another difference that was kind of touched on is it could just be the personality too. I mean, I'm not saying that what you're saying doesn't play into it, Kevin. I'm saying that could be one of the factors, but then, you know, personality and just kind of the way they roll could be another. Cause like you look at Kawhi Leonard, he ain't knocking it out the park with endorsement deals. You know what I'm saying? I think he's with New Balance, and it's like his endorsement deals are like $5 million. And we talked about Marshawn Lynch earlier. I think he had some deals I was reading. It was Nike, Pepsi, Skittles, Progressive, Activision. But that just all added up to about $5 million, you know, and that's not knocking it out the park on the endorsement side of the game. But, you know, it could be Marshawn Lynch isn't the most he's a real dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't with the bullshit. He's not, you know, somebody that you're going to throw on every marketing scheme for white America, if you really want to be real clear cut with it. You know what I'm saying? Or mainstream America. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a real dude. Kawhi Leonard just don't really have that, you know, outgoing, bubbly personality. So that could be the reason why he doesn't have endorsement deals. It could be a number of things. And the fact that, hey, guess what? You know, he's black. He's real. He's this. He's that. That could also play into it, man. All of that shit, I think. So I'm not saying necessarily, you know, either one of y'all are wrong in the case. I think it's a matter of all of that shit being put into a big ass pot and stirring that motherfucker up. And it's like, hey, man, just take a spoon of that and you might get a little bit of this, a little bit of that with every scoop. You know what I'm saying? So all of it comes into play.
Yeah.
That gumbo.
Yeah. But, you know, and again, just to, you talked about Hunt or Hines or whoever the fuck he signed to as far as catch-up goes. Mahomes, you got to remember, even before he won the Super Bowl, he signed with Adidas. He signed with State Farm. He signed with Head and Shoulders. Like, he was getting paid, and it looked like his off the field stuff was just being navigated correctly because he has a dad that's a true major league, an ex major league player, and probably has the connections with agents, marketing managers, people like that are connected with the business. So anytime Patrick Mahomes opens his mouth and says something that could generate money for a company, we're going to be on the phone with that company to see if we could turn that into money for Patrick Mahomes. The difference between him and having, like Dwayne said, Lamar Jackson, who barely speaks, is so soft spoken. And even though he's marketable because of his play on the field. Think about who do people most compare him to? Mike Vick. Mike Vick was electric off the field too. He had a very, you know, like a very Hollywood type persona, and he played up to the camera. He always made sure he was dressed well. Remember back that's back when the braids was popping. Vick stayed with the fresh braids. Like he was a marketing guy. But that's the difference. Like, on the field they're the same, but off the field, Mike Vick was big ass diamond earrings. You know what I mean? I got the tailored suits on, like Mike. But, you know, when you come across to and you're trying to market to a group of people, like, that has to be what it is. So when we saw the Mike Vick experience, the Nike commercial with the Mike Vick experience, that shit was like, oh, wow. Like, oh, yeah, this shit is hard. You know what I mean? Like, Lamar Jackson, he obviously wants to do it a different way. And he has his own apparel company. I think New Era Apparel, I think. I don't want to get it mixed up with New Era hats, but I think it's like New Era 8 Apparel or something like that. And it's his, you know, he has like his logo is the wild dog, but, you know, like, he has his own little merch that he sells on his own, on his Instagram page, and he has a website and all that stuff. But it's like, bro, you're a fucking league MVP. What you doing hustling shirts on the
Era 8 Apparel is what it's called.
Era 8 Apparel. What the fuck are you doing hustling shirts on the corner, man? Nah, for real though. Like, you're the fucking league MVP. Turn that shit into a collab with a bigger company and get that shit out there if you want to do it like that. You
know? Hey, man, I don't know, Ubang. I don't know. I kind of feel him. I kind of feel him doing his own shit.
What's the difference in what he's doing than what LeVar Ball was doing with Triple B?
Right. I kind of feel him.
I understand that, but even with LeVar, he understood that he had to go the shoe route. He had to get into the shoe game if you want to get the real money. The apparel, it's okay.
He might end up going the shoe route. You know, I can't say that he won't. He might end up doing something under this brand.
Hey, hopefully, again, that's what I'm saying. We don't know. Lamar Jackson is off the field like Kawhi Leonard. We don't know what the fuck he's into. He doesn't really tell, you know, what his next move is. And that's a good thing. But time will tell, man. You know, and you only, and the thing about the NFL this is very true. Outside of a few people that have extended a career, you have a fleeting moment. So you have a small window in time to maximize on what you are. You're a league MVP right now. You just went 14-2. Cam Newton was a league MVP in 2015. In 2020, he just signed for like $550,000 guaranteed with the Patriots. So you have a small window in time to maximize the amount of money you can make. And you hear a lot of ex-athletes talk about that, you know, people talk about how they make so much money when they're professionals, but they don't understand that they're going to live longer than the NFL, you know, than the NFL will pay them. So you may make more right now, but you have some of your friends that went to college, turn that into a great career, and they're going to be able to maximize their earning potential until they're 70 or 80. So you have to get as much as you can out the game right now. Lamar Jackson, go get what the fuck you can out the game right now.
Ubong, you got to go to the era8apparel.com website.
the wild dog.
They got these face masks, and the face masks say one word: pressure.
You know what it is.
And Lamar Jackson is slanging them things.
Hey, but Ubon, real quick, man, on that tip of like even thinking about Cam Newton was, you know, the window of opportunity that they have to capitalize, and him signing, going from MVP years ago to signing, you know, just for half a mil now, guaranteed on $1 million contract. He's 31, man. So, I mean, if he takes care of himself, changes his game, makes some adjustments, you know, not running as much to where he's putting himself in danger, and he's, you know, because he's talented. He could throw the ball, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's a talented quarterback. Running ain't the only thing he can do. But if he makes the necessary adjustments for longevity, I'm saying, you talking about this could be a resurgence, a turning point for him. 10 more years? Why can't he go to 41? If Tom Brady could go to 41 or Brett Favre could go to 41, why can't Cam Newton go to 41? And he should be looking at it that way. 31 right now. And this is an opportunity to turn a corner and, like, man, he got a chance to get another big deal in the mix before it's all said and done, man.
I believe it. But again, you have a moment in time. You have a moment in time. The moment is fleeting as a professional, especially as an NFL professional. If you're a basketball player, if you're one of the greats, you have time. With the NFL, you're literally one hit away from altering your career, even if it's not career ending. But you can alter your career to the point where you're not the player that you were 12 months ago, 18 months ago. So, you know, I just want to see him take advantage of the situation if he can.
Right.
If he believes that taking advantage of the situation is having his own apparel line and pushing the fuck out of that brand, that's great. I think he has a shirt on. One of his shirts says, "Nobody cares, work harder." I think that's a great slogan. And he wears that shit, and that shit is hard as hell. And I would recommend that to get that shit to kids. And, you know, like, it's a true statement. Like, I don't give a fuck what you doing and what you did. Like, nobody gives a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you have to work harder. So he has some good things going with that. But are you turning down Zion Williamson money? Are you turning down, you know what I mean? Like, bro, you're one of the biggest faces in the NFL right now. I would say, I would go out on a limb and say that 1 and 2 right now is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. The two biggest faces in the NFL right now are Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes is clearly taking advantage of his opportunities. Lamar Jackson is yet to be seen. I don't know what's going on. I don't, you know, pretend to know all the inner workings of his camp, but bro, I want to see more. I want to see more out of Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Kev thinks that it's because he's black.
The thing is, there's nothing that stops the Ravens from extending that man's contract today. There's nothing that stops them from doing it in 3 months. You know what I'm saying? It, again, we could talk in circles about that. It all falls back into their laps if he's performing the way he should.
But DP, you got to remember Patrick Mahomes, if you want to use him as the example that everybody's using him as, he set the precedent.
He did.
After 3 years, I think even Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz signed a big deal with the Eagles. I think it was after 3 years, he got an extension.
And that's what I mean. I'm agreeing with that. I'm saying if he performs the way that he's supposed to, like we all expect that he's going to have the Ravens back in the mix, right? Right back in the thick of shit.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's going to come down to him and Patrick Mahomes, number one and number two that you just threw out there. If it goes the way that we think it should, it's going to come down to those two. But I'm saying if he's constantly having them in the race and in the hunt, it's like you have to pay him. You're going to have to break bread.
You know what?
Or you can do them like they're doing Dak Prescott and do the, you know.
I want to take it back a step talking about this Patrick Mahomes contract. I think this is kind of the perfect storm for the NFL with everything that is happening in society, with the George Floyd situation, with the Colin Kaepernick kneeling, with Roger Goodell issuing an apology, with them running a campaign with the commercial of Black Lives Matter. Now you make a Black individual the highest paid player with the highest contract in NFL history. This nigga is coming closer.
Kevin, why am I leaning in? he Black now? We claiming him?
I'm talking about according to society standards.
Are we claiming him? Is he Black now?
Biracial. I still stand aside. He's still biracial, but I'm saying,
oh boy,
I'm saying this is the perfect storm for Roger Goodell in the NFL brand. This helps the brand, especially within the Black community. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see it that way. I mean, I think he won a Super Bowl before the George Floyd thing happened. Like, his last two seasons read MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying, so, okay, I'm sorry.
No. Just clarify so I can understand.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, so I'll use the Montgomery bus boycott, for example, when they use Rosa Parks. They did other sit-ins on the bus with individuals. I think the first person was like a 14-year-old or 15-year-old Black woman, and she had a child, and it was out of wedlock. So her character, the credibility of her as a person was tarnished. But when they used Rosa Parks, Rosa Parks was married. She was a Sunday school teacher. So she was working. So everything on the surface looked good, so that when she sat on the bus and she refused to get up and move her seat, everybody could go to bat for her. So that's what I'm saying in terms of Patrick Mahomes. His resume is impeccable. So he's the perfect candidate to use for this situation, for the resurgence or the emergence of this gargantuan contract that NFL quarterbacks are about to receive. That's all I'm saying.
So wait, so then the NFL is doing this to usher in the door to pay Black quarterbacks more money?
No. I was going back to what I was saying earlier as far as the perfect storm in terms of everything that is happening in society. And with all that is,
I followed you on that. I'm saying, are you saying that Patrick Mahomes, the NFL is using Patrick Mahomes and paying him more to get in the good graces of the Black consumers or the Black folks who'll be looking at the NFL? Like, this makes the NFL look good.
Yeah, I will say that that's part of it too. Yes, I will say that. Yeah, niggas was boycotting football, man.
I don't know about that. I think that his resume speaks for itself. And I think that he had, if you listen to Marcellus Wiley talks about Patrick Mahomes' agent, and I think it's Lee Steinberg. And I hope that's right. But I think he said it was Lee Steinberg is his agent. And Lee Steinberg used to represent Marcellus Wiley. And I think somehow Marcellus Wiley, the relationship ended with him and Lee Steinberg, because as an agent, he was looking out for himself first as opposed to the player. And, you know, Marcellus says that it may be greed of the agent trying to guarantee his funds for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you know, his funds as an agent against Patrick, you know, against Patrick Mahomes' contract. So there's a lot of things that could that possibly went into it. We don't know, but I don't think that it's, I mean, I could see how coming off of the George Floyd thing, and now you have the highest paid athlete in all of sports being a black quarterback, it's a good look for the NFL, but I don't think the NFL orchestrated or got behind closed doors with Kansas City and said, hey, let's make him, you know, if you wanted to do that, then guarantee the $500 million. Guarantee full $500 million. That's conspiracy theory. But, you know, they still have outs in the contract that, you know, worst case scenario, they're on the hook for 2 years.
But I don't want to make it seem like that's what you're saying. If that's what it's not, Kevin, or were you saying that the NFL was kind of in on this? Like, yeah, let's make this happen. Or
I'm saying that the NFL is parlaying this. That's what I'm saying. They are they're parlaying this situation. Yes.
They don't have to parlay it. They don't. All they have to do is sit back and do nothing. Like, they didn't negotiate the contract, to my knowledge. You know, and if you're saying that just coincidentally the perfect storm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that it is the perfect storm, but the NFL is also parlaying it. And I would not be surprised if the NFL did have a hand in it. Wouldn't shock me at all.
My boy Kim just thought the shit out there and be like, hey, I'm just saying.
I've said things to support what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Rosa Parks, I was following you with that analogy. It was just now I was trying to figure out which party you were saying was pushing the envelope on that end, because I mean, it's the Chiefs as an organization that would be making the, you know, the first step or whatever towards doing this. But I get what you're saying. If you were trying to compare them to, which a lot of our conversation was comparing Mahomes' situation to Lamar Jackson, if you're looking at it that way, yeah, and saying, well, organization like the Baltimore Ravens, they don't have a Rosa Parks to push. Is that kind of what you're saying? They don't have a Rosa Parks to push, but the Chiefs have a Rosa Parks to push in Mahomes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that part I get. I understand where you were coming with the build up of that. It was just, I was like, okay, well, are you saying the NFL is now ushering in the new wave of, hey, let's pay all these.
Yeah. Let's go with that. And this, you know, I think we started off talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? But we had to undoubtedly get over to Lamar Jackson. And I think that those two will be linked. Their careers will be linked for the foreseeable future. And like I said, it's the black Tom Brady, potentially the black Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. You know, when you look at things having to go through either Baltimore or Kansas City for the next 5 to 6 years. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it, because if you think about it, Pittsburgh, you got Ben Roethlisberger. He's on his way out the door and his best days are behind him. You have Baker Mayfield. He's a bum. You have Sam Darnold. He looked okay, but I need to see more. And they just got rid of his best weapon in Robbie Anderson. He got out of there over the Jets not wanting to give him like an extra $1 million, like some stupid shit. So like your front office is terrible. And you're not really surrounding Sam Darnold with the pieces. And then what the fuck is the coach's name? Adam Gase is a bum. So I don't see them doing anything. Tennessee, you hitched your wagons to Ryan Tannehill. Like, what are the other AFC teams? You got New England. You know, you hitched your wagon to Cam Newton. Who knows what the system is that they're going to try and put him in? I just don't see any AFC teams that really scare me other than Kansas City and Baltimore. And, you know, Miami, they have Tua Tagovailoa. He's a rookie. He's coming off of surgery for an injury from his last year playing in college. That he doesn't scare me. The white Lamar Jackson out in Buffalo, Josh, whatever his name is, he doesn't scare me. Like, I don't really see anybody that we can put on that pedestal. And if Lamar Jackson cannot become a legitimate threat to Patrick Mahomes, I see Kansas City representing the AFC for at least the next 3 years in the Super Bowl.
up, y'all. Don't forget to follow us on IG, Twitter, and Facebook at Two Peas and a Bong. That is the number 2, WOPEEZANDABONG. Two Peas and a Bong. That's our handle on IG, Twitter, and Facebook, y'all. Thanks for rocking with us. We'll catch y'all on the next one.